Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. Now, in this episode, we're going to deal with a very important question. And that question is, who do you think would win in a fight between a bear and a shark? So the bear, that could be like a grizzly bear, or a polar bear, or a black bear, you know, kind of, you know, very big animal, very dangerous. They're very strong. They've got big claws and big teeth. They kind of live in the forest. A bear, right? You know what that is, a bear, right? Not a beer. No, because that's something you drink, isn't it? A beer. But this here, I'm talking about a bear, you know, a grizzly bear, for example. Who would win between a bear on one hand and a shark? Right, so shark, that's like a big fish with big teeth. If you've seen the movie Jaws by Steven Spielberg, you'll know the music. Dun 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 dun. Shark, right, a shark. A big fish, like a great white shark, or a tiger shark, or a bull shark. These are those huge fish. They're ancient, they're millions of years old. They've been around since the dinosaurs. They're incredible animals because they can swim really fast and they will eat you if you go in the water, right? Actually, they probably won't eat you because they prefer to eat things like seals and other fish. But anyway, that's the situation. So in this podcast, this is what you are going to hear. First, I'm going to tell you what I'm talking about because you're probably thinking, Luke, what's the matter with you? Have you lost your mind? Have you finally gone crazy? What are you talking about? Well, the fact is, I went crazy a long time ago. I didn't really, of course. I'm completely sane. Yes. So, what are you talking about? That's what you're thinking. Well, I'll tell you about that in a moment. Second, we're going to listen to a Canadian stand-up comedian talking about the question of who would win between a bear and a shark. And it's a lot of fun. And thirdly, I'll help you to understand the things that comedian says. And fourth, we are going to look at an expert's opinion. So what does an expert think? Who really would win in a fight between a bear and a shark? Okay, so firstly, what am I talking about? Well, this is just a fun question. It's just a silly debate. It's just fun to discuss something which is ridiculous and impossible. I'm not really going to have a fight between a bear and a shark. It's impossible. You couldn't do it. But it's just fun to discuss it. This is the sort of thing that I might talk about with my friends in the pub. It's just like a light-hearted conversation. So, for example, we'd be sitting in the pub and someone would ask a ridiculous question like this, and then we'd kind of seriously discuss it. Like, okay, yeah, who would win in a bear between a bear and a shark? Well, the bear, you know, they're tall and strong and they've got big claws, so maybe he'd be able to grab the shark and like bite the shark. But then, you know, sharks are really good swimmers, and it would be able to like swim around the bear, and maybe if the shark bit the bear once, then the bear's probably going to lose a leg or lose an arm because those sharks have got big teeth. So, yeah, actually, it's quite even. It's quite evenly matched. Who really would win? It's like a difficult thing to work out because, like, the bear might not be able to walk properly in the water, but the shark maybe won't have enough water to be able to swim well. So, yeah, that would be an interesting fight to see what would really happen. Now, obviously, I'm not being serious. I'm not seriously thinking about fighting a bear and a shark. because I love animals and I don't want animals to kill each other or anything. It's just a conversation. So I understand if you're an animal lover, then you might be a little bit upset about this idea. But I don't mean to offend anyone with this. It's just a bit of fun, okay? So, it just raises questions like, how would you do it? Which animal really is the best? Which is stronger or more skillful than the other one? What would be a fair match? Like, how would you organize the conditions to make the match fair? For example, you'd need perhaps you'd need to organize a level playing field in some way. Like, you'd need to organize it so that perhaps there was enough water for the shark to be able to swim, but not too much water so that the bear couldn't stand up. So the water would have to be like deep enough for the shark to swim in it, but shallow enough for the bear to be able to walk around and do things, right? And how would you actually encourage the two animals to fight? Because first of all, bears and sharks don't really meet each other very often in real life. So how would you actually get the two animals together? And how would you then encourage them to fight with each other? Because probably they would meet each other and the bear would think, I don't want to have a fight with a shark. Why would I want to do that? You know, and the shark's kind of going, I'd rather just swim around and try and eat some fish or something. You know, they're not going to want to fight each other. So how would you actually encourage them to fight? I don't know. I don't know the answers to these questions, but it's quite fun to discuss them just for a bit of a laugh, really. By the way, the bear versus shark thing, it's not just something that I talk about with my friends. No. In fact, I think that people, like particularly young people who have got nothing better to do, might talk about this kind of thing. Lots of people in the UK I know talk about this. I've heard many people talking about this conversation when they're just having fun, and I know that people in America have discussed this question as well. For example, there's even a book about this. There was a novel published in 2001 by Chris Bachelder, and the book actually takes this question of who would win between a bear and a shark and develops it into a full story in which you look at a society in which they have actually created a fight between a bear and a shark, and it's a huge media event, a bit like something like the X Factor or a bit like big high profile sporting matches. The fact is, in the book they use computer generated bears and sharks, so it's not real bears and sharks. Computer-generated ones. And the book itself is a kind of satire about the way that the media has really kind of taken over everybody's lives to the point where they publicize and hype ridiculous entertainment events so much that's the only thing that people know about. They don't get any news. They don't get any serious news from the TV or from the radio. It's just coverage of the fight between the bear and the shark. So it's a kind of a critical satire of how society can be dominated by trivial things in the media. Okay. Now, the irony is that here is now me creating this discussion in the form of a podcast. So, in a way, I'm making this story come true. But anyway, it's still just fun thing to talk about. There's also a band in America, a rock band. They're like a post-hardcore band from America, and they're called Bear versus Shark. So they're obviously inspired by this this question as well. In fact, they named their band after the question. So now, recently, last week, I went to see a stand-up comedian. His name is Tony Law. He's from Canada, and he was doing a comedy show in London. I went to see him with a couple of friends, and one of the things he talked about in his show was this question: who would win in a fight between a bear and a shark? and he was really, really funny. I really enjoyed listening to him talking about this question in a funny way. Now, Tony Law's style is to be a bit ridiculous. It's hard to describe really what's funny about him. And I suppose mainly it's subjective. What I find funny, you might not find funny, for example. But anyway, I thought that I would share some of his comedy with you in this episode. So I managed to find some extracts of his comedy show on YouTube, and I've downloaded them, and I'm going to put the audio into this podcast. So now you're going to listen to Tony Law from Canada talking about who would win in a fight between a bear and a shark. Now, let's see if you can follow it, follow what he's saying. Do you find it funny? If you don't find it funny, that's fine. But do you understand everything he's talking about? So listen to this bit of comedy from Tony Law, and afterwards I'll help you understand everything. Hopefully then you will understand it, just like a native speaker would understand it, and you really would be able to appreciate the comedy and what he's talking about. So, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Tony Law.
Now, another fun thing to do, if you've got the money and you got the time, it's well worth your while if you can organize yourself a fight between a black bear and a shark. Now, what you're going to need to get started off with is a shallow little wading pool, okay? Now, any old wading pool will do, but I prefer one with aluminum siding, or aluminium, if you will. And most of you do. Get that nice and set up. Now, this is important. Make sure you put sandbags around the outside of it, because you're going to put a lot of weight in there, okay? All right. So, now, some of you are ahead of me. You're saying, Tone, we're going to need to fill that up with water, aren't we? Yes, we are. So you introduce your garden hose or weirdly long tap. I don't know your homes. I don't know how much you like DIY. So you get that nice and full of water. Now you're going to want to introduce your shark, aren't you? Yeah, of course. Yeah. So now you're going to need a buddy for this. Always buddy up, because sharks, they're heavy, aren't they? You get your shark and you bring him in, right? Because I use a tiger shark for this. They're more bitey. They're more bitey, and it helps the whole process along. So you put him in there, let him acclimatize himself. Now, that won't take very long, because that's a small pool, and he's a big fish, isn't he? So you get him in there, right? Let him acclimatize himself, right? And then you go into the house, and you get your paints. Oil paints are the best for this. And you come out, and you paint that shark up to look like a salmon. You know, honey, we should do more dangerous art. I know. All right, now you're going to want to introduce your black bear, right? Now, listen, hey, once you've done it my way once, you can change it up. Use any kind of bear you want. Polar bear, grizzly. First time, try it with a black bear. Okay? So you bring in your black bear. Now, he's a bear, isn't he? And he's going to look down now, and that's definitely going to be the largest salmon he's ever seen in his life. It's not going to stop him. He's just going to go, ooh, all my bear Christmases have come at once. He's going to look down, and he's going to go, mmm, that's a big motherfucking salmon right there. Shit. I'm going to eat that fucking salmon right up. Mmm, that's a tasty looking big motherfucking salmon there. I said what I said. Mmm, I'm going to eat that salmon up because I built up an appetite with the ladies. Mmm. Now listen. You can get your black bear from anywhere in the world. You don't need to make his voice quite so racist. Smarten up. You know, be more xenophobic about it. Get yourself a Russian bear. Oh boy, look at the size of that salmon. I can't wait to eat it. You know, or a Polish bear. Oh boy, I sound exactly like Russian bear. I can't wait to eat it. You know, or get yourself a Chinese bear. I'm not going there, am I? Doesn't matter how good you think your Chinese voice is, it isn't. It never is it? I mean, there's some accents you just stay away from, aren't they? You're like Chinese and all of its affiliates. Ooh, don't go there. Those aren't for you, unless you're Chinese or, you know, someone in your family's Chinese. You know, and then knock yourself out. Same thing, Indian subcontinent. Ooh, danger lurks there. Don't do those accents. Unless you're Indian, you know, your parents are, I don't know. We've all got a white friend who's done his Indian accent, haven't we? At some point in your life. It's never worked out, has it? Artistically or morally. It's all like, oh, he's doing the voice. Oh. Starts out in Trinidad and Tobago. Moves over to Wales for a bit. And then fucks off up to Sunderland for a while. Oh, while everyone feels a bit dirty and needing a bath. Oh. Well, you don't say anything, do you? He won't learn, will he? If you say something, he'll never learn. He'll only learn by everyone going,
Okay, that's not the end, because in the next video, Tony carries on to tell us exactly what would happen if the bear attacked the shark.
And he just sees it, and he just goes straight in with that left paw, doesn't he? Big mistake, black bear. Ah! Pulls back a stump. That's not going to heal in a hurry. But like I said, brave, noble creature, and he thinks, I've got one good paw left. I'm going in. Second mistake, black bear. Ah! Pulls back a stump. Now he's fucked, isn't he? Got a black bear with no front paws. He's losing a lot of blood, but luckily he spent some time in the Moscow State Circus so he can balance on his hind 2 feet. And if there's a little kiddie's bicycle around, he could probably just wheel around on that too. He's not gonna have the glorious victory he was hoping for now. Now he's gotta like do little nips in the shark's ass. Just little nips. Little nips. Little nips. And I wish there was an exciting way for that to finish, but it takes about 8 hours for the shark to bleed to death.
Okay, and that's the end of his version of that question. Okay, I wonder what you thought of Tony Law. Did you understand what he was talking about? I wonder. And maybe you enjoyed it a lot. Who knows? I have no idea of knowing, since you are probably sitting on the other side of the world somewhere and maybe listening to this on your iPhone or something like that. I have no idea what you're thinking at this point, but I'm going to carry on anyway. So let's go into a little bit of detail about exactly what Tony Law said in his stand-up bit, okay? So I think what I'm going to do is just, yeah, I've written down some bits of language that he uses. And so let's listen to him again, and I'm going to stop the recording at some points and explain what he's just said. And I'll highlight features of pronunciation, bits of vocabulary that he's using, and so on. Okay, so let's get started. Let's do that then, shall we? Okay then, let's do that. Oh, and by the way, I will put a transcript of Tony Law's stand-up bit on the website, so you can read it while you're listening to it. How's that? That's brilliant, isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay, what did Tony Law say? Let's find out. Okay, that was just like a little piece of music. I think it was in C major. Anyway, yeah, you didn't really need to know that, did you? No. Okay.
Now, another fun thing to do, if you've got the money and you've got the time, it's well worth your while, if you can organize yourself a fight between a black bear and a shark.
If you've got the money, if you've got the time, it's well worth your while. It's well worth your while means it's worth doing. It's worth spending time on it. It's really worth your while listening to Luke's English podcast. I think you'll agree.
Now, what you're going to need to get started off with is a shallow little wading pool.
Now, what you're going to need to get started off with, but he says like, now, what are you going to need to get started off with? So what you're going to need to get started off with is a shallow little wading pool. Shallow, you know, it means the opposite of deep. Little, well, it's easy. And a wading pool. A wading pool is a bit like, you know, in the back garden, If you have children, if the weather's hot and sunny, you might get a little wading pool or a paddling pool. It's not big enough to be a swimming pool, but it's big enough for like the children to play around in the water. You just set it up in the back garden and you fill it full of water and the kids can play around with it. But it's much smaller than a swimming pool. So what you're going to need to get started off with is a shallow little wading pool. Yeah, to get started off with. So to get started off, you're going to need a shallow little wading pool. Yeah, okay.
Well, okay. Now, any old wading pool will do, but I prefer one with aluminum siding, or aluminium, if you will.
So any wading pool will do, but I prefer one with aluminium. No, he said, I prefer one with aluminum siding. So he means that the sides of the wading pool should be made of aluminum. But he says aluminum siding, or aluminium, if you will. And that's because between American English and British English, they pronounce the words differently. So in Canada or in America, they'd say aluminum. And in Britain, we'd say aluminium. So he says aluminum or aluminium, if you will. And if you will is a bit like saying if you like, so, or if that's what you do. And you can use it when you're perhaps describing something in a way that your listeners might use it. So if you'd say, you might say, oh, you could use aluminium bowl or aluminium, if you will. So if you will, it's just another way of saying if you like, or if that's how you say it.
Now, any old wading pool will do, but I prefer one with aluminum siding or aluminium, if you will. And most of you do.
That and most of you do. I think he's referring to the fact that everyone in the audience is British. And so they all do say aluminium. It's very funny. I'm sure it was funny at the time.
Get that nice and set up now.
Get that nice and set up. So obviously get that set up, get that ready. But that expression, nice and something, nice and set up, nice and something. So it'd be like serve the tea nice and hot. And that would mean serve the tea hot enough so that it's nice. So nice and ready would be ready and in a good way.
Now this is important. Make sure you put sandbags around the outside of it because you're going to put a lot of weight in there, okay? All right.
So make sure you put sandbags around the outside of it. Sandbags, well, these are bags of sand. We use them, the army use them to create defences, don't they? So make sure you put a lot of sandbags around the side because you're going to put a lot of weight in there, aren't you? All right.
Now, some of you are ahead of me. You're thinking, you're saying, Tone, we're going to need to fill that up with water, aren't we? Yes, we are. So you introduce your garden hose or weirdly long tap. I don't know your homes.
So to fill up the paddling pool, you're going to need a lot of water. So you introduce your garden hose. A hose is like a flexible rubber pipe, which you use to transfer water from the kitchen, perhaps, or from a tap in the back of your house. You transfer water through the hose into the garden. A fireman uses a hose in order to fight fire, right? So it's like a long rubber tube. So in order to fill up the gardening, paddling pool, you're going to need a long garden hose or an extra long tap. And he says, I don't know your homes, because he's saying, I don't know if you have a hose or an extra long tap. I think the extra long tap joke is funny because he's doing like a physical movement. So if you see him on the video, he's actually doing the movement of like bringing a hose across. So I don't know. It's just a funny joke about the way he's moving his hand. Just a mime joke, I suppose.
I don't know how much you like DIY. So,
I don't know how much you like DIY. DIY means do it yourself. And it's the expression we use to refer to when people do work on their home. So putting up shelves or fixing things in the home, do it yourself. It's like doing your own decorating in the house. So I don't know how much you like DIY. He's referring to DIY because he's talking about, you know, I don't know what your home is like, if you have a hose or a long tap.
So you get that nice and full of water. Now you're going to want to introduce your shark, aren't you? Yeah, of course. Yeah. So now you're going to need a buddy for this. Always buddy up, because sharks, they're heavy, aren't they? You get your shark and you bring him in.
You're going to need a buddy for this. A buddy is like an American word to mean friend. So you're going to need a buddy for this. So buddy up. If you buddy up, it means you kind of find a friend to help you. So you kind of get together with a friend in order to do something. So you buddy up, okay? Because sharks, they're heavy, aren't they? Yes, they are. Okay, so obviously you'll need two people in order to carry the shark because they're pretty big and heavy.
Right? Because I use a tiger shark for this. They're more bitey.
So he uses a tiger shark because they're more bitey. Bitey. Now, bitey isn't really an adjective. It's not really a word. He's kind of created that word. You know, in the way that you might say windy because there's lots of wind, or rainy because there's lots of rain. In the same way, he's saying bitey because they bite a lot. So apparently tiger sharks are more bitey.
They're more bitey and it helps the whole process along. So you put him in there, let him acclimatize himself. Now, that won't take very long because that's a small pool and he's a big fish, isn't he?
Let him acclimatize himself. To acclimatize yourself means to get used to the climate. So in the same way that when you arrive in a new country, if it's very hot, for example, you might say, God, you know, it's really difficult to acclimatize. It means it's just difficult to get used to the climate or the temperature. So he said, it's going to give him a chance, give the shark a chance to acclimatize. Now, that's not going to take very long because that he's a big shark and that's a very small pool. So he's basically saying that because the shark is big and the amount of water is very small, it won't take him very long to get used to the temperature of the water. In fact, the water temperature would change quite quickly.
So you get him in there, right? Let him acclimatize himself, right? And then you go into the house and you get your paints. Oil paints are the best for this. And you come out and you paint that shark up to look like a salmon.
Okay, so he's suggesting that then you have to go into the house and get some oil paints. Oil paints. So these are paints that are based in oil. You know, you have different types of paint. Oil paint, acrylic paint, which is like synthetic in some way. Watercolor paint. So he's saying you should go into the house and get some oil paints and paint the shark to make it look like a salmon. Now that's funny because obviously the bear is then going to think it's a big salmon.
You know, honey, we should do more dangerous art. I know.
Honey, we should do more dangerous art. So there he's like maybe talking to his girlfriend or his wife and sort of saying, hey, darling, we should do more dangerous art. So just the concept of dangerous art is it's just funny, you know. Dangerous art. So obviously painting a tiger shark to make it look like a salmon using oil paints in your back garden, I think that's like dangerous art. Yes.
All right, now you're gonna want to introduce your black bear, right? Now listen, hey, once you've done it my way once, you can change it up, use any kind of bear you want. Polar bear, grizzly. First time, try it with a black bear. Okay, so you bring in your black bear. Now, he's a bear, isn't he? And he's going to look down now, and that's definitely going to be the largest salmon he's ever seen in his life. It's not going to stop him. He's just going to go, ooh, all my bear Christmases have come at once.
All my Christmases have come at once. That's like when all of your Christmases happen at one time. So you get all of your presents, all of your gifts all come at the same time. So it's like, wow, all my Christmases have come at once. Because like this big salmon is like a perfect gift for him to eat. So wow, all my bear Christmases have come at once. Now, at this point, Tony starts to talk about accents, actually, because he's decided to give this black bear a kind of a black American accent. So he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. Now, it's kind of borderline racist, but he knows that it's borderline racist, so it's no problem. But it's just interesting because he starts to talk about accents and how doing different accents can be culturally a little bit difficult.
He's going to look down, he's going to go, that's a big motherfucking salmon right there. Shit. I'm going to eat that fucking salmon right up.
Now, this is a kind of like a sort of a black American gangster's voice or something. So obviously not all black American people sound like this. No, no way. But this is a kind of like stereotype of a kind of black American gangster, you know, from maybe like a 1970s movie that, oh yeah, I'm going to eat that salmon right up. Oh yeah.
That's a tasty looking big motherfucking salmon there. I said what I said.
Okay, he's still playing around with this kind of like black guy's voice. Oh yeah, I said what I said, which is a kind of cliche of the way that maybe sort of black American gangsters or rappers might speak. Shit, that's big motherfucking salmon. Shit, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, not all black people in America speak like that. It's like the sort of how do you describe it? Kind of like a 70s movie, kind of blaxploitation movie kind of character. Like maybe someone from the movie Shaft. If you know about the movie Shaft, it's a sort of classic movie about a detective from Harlem. And he kind of speaks like that. It's like, shit, that's what big motherfucking salmon, shit. Okay? So he's just having fun with accents. And now he starts to talk about how possibly when you do accents, it can be a little culturally insensitive, possibly racist or something like that. It's very clever the way Tony Law does this, because he starts to deal with a very sensitive topic, and yet he manages to keep it very funny without offending anyone. He's very good.
I'm going to eat that salmon up because I built up an appetite with the ladies.
Now listen. You can get your black bear from anywhere in the world. You don't need to make his voice quite so racist. Smarten up.
Okay, so he's saying you could get your black bear from anywhere in the world. You don't have to make its voice sound so racist. Smarten up. Smarten up is like get smart, get wise, get clever. Don't be stupid. Smarten up. Or in Canada, we're like, smarten up. Okay?
You know, be more xenophobic about it. Get yourself a Russian bear.
Be more xenophobic about it. If you're xenophobic, it means you're kind of scared of people from different countries. So it's like you're fearful of foreign people. It's like, basically, if you're xenophobic, it means you don't like people from different countries, or you don't like people from somewhere else, not your country. So he's saying, maybe, yeah, be more xenophobic about it. Now, he's being ironic. He doesn't really mean that you should be xenophobic. He's just being ironic. So he says, yeah, you should be more xenophobic about it. Get yourself a Russian bear.
You know, be more xenophobic about it. Get yourself a Russian bear. Oh boy, look at the size of that salmon. I can't wait to eat it.
Okay, and there's a kind of cliche Russian accent. So it's just a cliche accent. And now he does like a cliche Polish accent, which sounds exactly like the Russian accent. So I don't think he's making fun of people's accents. No, he's definitely not making fun of accents. He's making fun of the way in which people sometimes copy different accents. So the joke here about Russian and Polish accents is that most, say, American or Canadian or English people, they don't really know the difference between a Russian accent and a Polish accent. So whenever anyone does a Russian accent or a Polish accent, they sound exactly the same to most American, Canadian or English people. So that really shows us how insensitive or ignorant most English, American or Canadian people are about different accents, okay?
You know, or a Polish bear. Oh boy, I sound exactly like Russian bear. I can't wait to eat it. You know, or get yourself a Chinese bear.
Now he's actually testing the boundaries of what is acceptable. And the fact is that it seems that a kind of European, like white, English or like American, Canadian person, for some reason it's socially quite acceptable to do a Russian accent or a Polish accent, even if they're bad accents. And yet it's really bad, it's really inappropriate to do a Chinese accent. That's somehow racist. So he says, or you could get your black bear from China. And there's a long pause. And then he says, but I'm not going there. So he's saying, I'm not going to do a Chinese accent, because if I do a Chinese accent, I'm going to come across as a bit racist. And Tony isn't racist at all. He's a really nice guy. So again, he's playing with the idea that doing some accents is acceptable, and yet doing other accents seems racist. And why?
I'm not going there, am I? Doesn't matter how good you think your Chinese voice is, it isn't.
Doesn't matter how good you think your Chinese voice is, it isn't. So it doesn't matter how good you think your Chinese voice is, it isn't. So he's saying that even if you think your Chinese voice is brilliant, it isn't. It's terrible. So he's saying, again, that most people can't do a Chinese accent, and if they try to do it, they just sound racist. Okay? So that's the joke. It's not a joke about different accents. It's a joke about the way people try to do different accents as a joke.
Yeah. It never is it? I mean, there's some accents you just stay away from, aren't they? You know, like Chinese and all of its affiliates. Ooh, don't go there. Those aren't for you, unless you're Chinese or, you know, someone in your family's Chinese. You know, and then knock yourself out.
So, yeah, he's saying there are some accents that you stay away from, some accents that you avoid, because if you do them, it just seems inappropriate. Unless, of course, you're Chinese or your parents are Chinese, then knock yourself out. Knock yourself out means just go for it. Just relax. Just do whatever you want. Just knock yourself out. So you might say knock yourself out to a guest. Like you say, feel free to just, you know, take some food from the fridge. Just relax, watch TV. Just knock yourself out. Okay? On the subject of the accents which are acceptable or not, that's interesting. Some might say that if you copy any accent from any country that it's rude, but it seems that it's okay, for example, to do an American accent, perhaps, although some Americans might be offended by it. If I do a Scottish accent, that seems to be acceptable. But if I was to do, let's say, like a Japanese accent or Chinese accent or an Indian accent, then I would come across as being like really inappropriate. It's interesting that certain accents are acceptable for me to do or for an English or American or Canadian person to do, and yet some of them aren't. That's just interesting.
Same thing, Indian subcontinent. Ooh, danger lurks there. Don't do those accents unless you're Indian, you know, your parents are. I don't know. We've all got a white friend who's done his Indian accent, haven't we? At some point in your life, it's never worked out, has it? Artistically or morally. It's all like, oh, he's doing the voice, oh.
Now he's describing a situation in which, like, a white friend has done an accent, maybe an Indian accent, and everyone is kind of disappointed. So they're like, oh, God, he's doing the voice again. As if to say, Oh, he shouldn't be doing that. It just seems a bit wrong. Now he starts to talk about the way that an average white person's Indian accent is not very good and starts out in Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago is in the West Indies or the Caribbean. And so they have a particular accent, which is very different from the Indian accent. But the fact is that most white people's Indian accent isn't very good. It might change, it might sound more like a Caribbean accent, or an accent from like the north of England. So the accents that white people do when they're trying to copy an Indian accent would be so bad that they would the accent would travel to many different places, because it just sounds, it's places.
Starts out in Trinidad and Tobago, moves over to Wales for a bit, and then fucks off up to Sunderland for a while. Oh, while everyone feels a bit dirty and needing a bath. Oh, but you don't say anything, do you?
But you don't say anything, do you? So now he's criticising the people who don't actually stop this guy from doing a bad Indian accent. Instead, they just sit there feeling uncomfortable, feeling dirty. But they don't stop him. No, and if they stopped him, he would learn, but he doesn't learn.
He won't learn, will he? If you say something, he'll never learn. He'll only learn by everyone going,
So he's being sarcastic here, and he's saying that, of course, he will only learn if everyone goes, which is the opposite of what's true. In fact, people should tell him, that's a terrible accent, you should stop.
then he'll learn.
In the next part of the recording, you hear Tony continuing by talking about what would really happen if the bear attacked the shark. Okay?
And he just sees it and he just goes straight in with that left paw, doesn't he? Big mistake, black bear. Ah! Pulls back a stump.
So he just sees it and he goes straight in with that left paw. So it's like his a paw is a bear's hand. So we say that a bear has a paw or paws. Dogs have paws. Cats have paws. P-A-W-S. A paw is the hand for an animal like a bear. So he goes straight in with that left paw. So he attacks the shark with his left paw. But then he brings back a stump. A stump would be, like, for example, a tree stump is just the trunk of the tree. So if you chop down a tree, if you chop a tree down, you're left with a tree stump at the bottom. So a stump is like something that's left after something has been chopped off. So if the bear attacks the shark with its left paw and it pulls up a stump, this is because when it attacked the shark bit the bear's paw off. And so all that's left is a stump of a bear's arm left without a hand on the end. So the bear goes straight in, attacks with his left paw, pulls back a stump.
That's not going to heal in a hurry.
That's not going to heal in a hurry. Heal is when a wound or an injury gets better, right? So that's not going to heal in a hurry means that's not going to get better very quickly. Yeah, if you do something in a hurry, you do it quickly. So that's not going to heal in a hurry. So here is the joke here is that he's using understatement. Understatement. So you'd say that's not going to heal in a hurry. If you had like a fairly like light cut on your hand, maybe a slightly bad cut on your hand, and you go, oh God, that's not going to heal in a hurry. But if you lost your whole hand or arm to a shark, of course, it's ridiculous to say, well, that's not going to heal in a hurry. It's never going to heal, really, because he's lost his hand. So it's understatement. That's the joke there, really.
But like I said, brave, noble creature, and he thinks I've got one good paw left. I'm going in. Second mistake, black bear. Ah, pulls back a stump. Now he's fucked, isn't he?
Okay, so he goes in with the second paw, unlucky, pulls back another stump. So obviously he's just lost his other paw to the shark. The shark has bitten his other paw. And he goes, now he's fucked, isn't he? So if someone is fucked, it means that they are in a very bad situation. Obviously, rude word, ladies and gentlemen. Rude word, fucked. Okay, don't say that. It's rude. Shouldn't be using that kind of language, of course. But in a comedy show, it's quite normal to have some swear words. So he says, now he's fucked, isn't he? So, of course, now he's fucked. He's just lost two of his paws. How's he going to fight the shark? Yeah, he's really fucked.
Now he's got a black bear with no front paws. He's losing a lot of blood. But luckily, he spent some time in the Moscow State Circus so he can balance on his hind 2 feet.
So now you've got a black bear with no front paws. He's losing a lot of blood. What's he going to do? Well, luckily, when he was a young bear, I think, he went to the Moscow State Circus. So you know the circus where they have like performing animals and things. And he learned to stand on his hind legs. His hind legs are his back legs. So he learned to stand on his hind legs. So this is the bear's solution. Luckily, he was trained at the circus so he can stand on his hind legs and he can kind of carry on fighting by standing on his hind legs. Yes.
And if there's a little kiddie's bicycle around, he could probably just wheel around on that too.
If there's a little kiddie's bicycle around, he could probably wheel around on that too. So this is because the bear was trained at the circus. So not only can he stand on his hind feet, he can also ride a little bicycle. So it's just a joke on the way that, you know, the things that a bear which is trained at the circus might be able to do. Stand on its hind legs and also ride a little kiddie's bicycle. Yes.
He's not going to have the glorious victory he was hoping for now. Now he's got to like do little nips in the shark's ass. Just little nips.
Oh, he's not going to have the glorious victory he was hoping for. So now he's got to do little nips in the shark's ass. A nip is like a little bite. So he's just going to have to do little bites in the shark's ass. So obviously the ass is the sort of the bottom or the back of the shark, right? So he's going to have to just do little nips, little bites in the shark's ass. Yep.
Little nips. And I wish there was an exciting way for that to finish, but it takes about 8 hours for the shark to bleed to death.
Okay, so the story ends with a kind of anti-climax. He says, I wish there was an exciting way for that to finish. But basically the shark takes about 8 hours to bleed to death. So kind of a downbeat ending to the story. But it takes 8 hours for the shark to bleed to death. Bleed is when blood comes out of the body. So bleed, it take the shark 8 hours to bleed to death. So there isn't an exciting ending to the story. In fact, it's rather a disappointing downbeat ending. But that's kind of funny. I like the way that the story ends in such a realistic way at the end like that. It's quite funny. So there you go. That was Tony Law talking about bears and sharks. And you're probably thinking, Luke, this is a totally ridiculous, stupid episode. I wonder if you are. But as I said before, I'm just going to carry on anyway. Even if you think it's ridiculous, I'm just going to keep going. Because I've started, so I'll finish. Now, what would an expert think about this question of who would win between a bear and a shark? I wonder. Now, I did a little bit of research into this, in fact, and I looked on a website called All Experts. And this is All Experts. I wonder if this is a website for just for wild animals, or if it's one for any subject at all. All Experts looks like a website which is run by some experts, and you can ask them questions. Yeah, it's about animals. No, it's not just about animals. It's about anything. This is a website called allexperts.com. So that's http://en.allexperts, that's allexperts.com. And this looks like a website where you can ask questions and they will do lots of research into it in order to find out the answers to questions. And someone has sent in a question about who would win in a fight between a bear and a shark, and an expert has answered this. So you're now going to get an expert's opinion on who would really win in a fight between these two animals. So here is the question first. So the question is like this. About 50 of my friends and I have been debating whether a great white shark or grizzly bear would win in a fight in 4 to 6 feet of water for about 1 year now. It always comes up at bars or trips, etc. Perhaps an expert like yourself could provide some insight or facts about which we could further debate this issue. Of course, we would all also love to hear your opinion on which animal would win. Thanks in advance. And here is the answer from an expert named Jonathan Wright. And I'm now going to read the answer to you. If you want to read this, I will actually post this text onto the website and you can check it out. So here's the answer. Dear Justin, thanks for your question. I must admit that it would be extremely unlikely for a grizzly bear to come into contact with a great white shark. Generally speaking, animals do not tend to have fights with members of other species. If an animal is not a potential prey, there is little reason to waste any time on it. I think that the bear and shark would try to avoid one another rather than launching into a fight. If the bear could escape onto land or the shark into deeper water, they would do so. I've looked up various websites. Some people have discussed the outcome of a fight between a bear and a shark, and there are supporters on both sides. There is even a cartoon of a brown bear holding a shark aloft. Then one website states that if the bear couldn't stand up, it would lose in water. Another website also thinks the sharks would win, as the bear's claws couldn't get hold of the shark. A third website gives various ideas about the fight. One correspondent states that a shark wouldn't have a big enough mouth to swallow a bear in shallow water. Some correspondents favour the bear because of its teeth, jaws, and claws. the bear can move its claws and mouth independently from the rest of the body. One suggestion is that if the bear got on top of the shark and held on, it could scoop out its brain using a massive swipe of a claw. A counter-argument is that this isn't normal bear behaviour. One correspondent thinks a grizzly bear would have enough strength to beat a mako shark in shallow water, with blunt force blows crushing the shark. The bear is also a good enough swimmer to have some chance of beating a shark in shallow water. Other correspondents favour the shark, which is bigger, heavier, faster, and stronger in water than the bear is. It could use its great jaw strength and biting power to sever the bear's limb, leading the bear dying from blood loss. It also has tough skin covered with sharp scales. The bear couldn't survive the shark's initial assault. Another website mentions details of a shark's attack. As it opens its mouth to attack, it raises its flexible snout out of the way, and the jaws, which are loosely attached to the skull, are pushed out as the mouth opens, which puts the teeth into a biting position. There is immense power behind the jaws and the teeth. There is immense power behind the jaws, and the teeth are adapted for shearing or sawing flesh as a shark clamps its jaws onto its victim and throws its head from side to side until a mouthful is torn from the body. A modest-sized 4.8-metre great white shark can bite with a pressure of 3 tonnes per square centimetre and will tear out a chunk of flesh measuring 28 by 33 centimetres. Sharks usually catch weakly and sick animals, so would be unlikely to attack a healthy bear. It may attack in shallow water, rushing in before a victim realises what's going on. Another website called NewEnglandSharks.com states that white sharks are often found in shallow water and seem to prefer eating marine mammals instead of fish, especially if the prey is found close to shore. In your scenario, the depth of water is important. Also, whether the animals are trapped in the pool or whether they can escape. Generally speaking, the bear would win if a fight took place on land, while the shark would probably win if the fight took place in deep water. A fight in shallow water could go either way, although the bear would try to escape onto land if possible. It would only be able to swim for a limited period of time and would be in danger of drowning if the shark dragged it under the water. The bear could hit the shark on the nose if it thought that this was a good idea, but otherwise the shark is a tougher animal and I think would be more likely to win. There is a strong possibility, though, of a double death, with the bear drowning and the shark suffocating. Answers.google.com states that a shark slowly suffocates unless there is a stream of water over the gills. Looking at all the evidence, I think that the shark is more likely to win if the fight can only take place in water, i.e. if the bear cannot drag the shark onto land. I think that if land were available, the bear wouldn't enter the water in the first place, or would try to escape from the water as soon as possible. A great white shark is a totally different issue compared to a salmon. The bear could use its claws to punch the shark's nose or gouge out flesh. The shark's teeth are more powerful, and if either animal lost any of their teeth, the shark has lots of spare sets, while if an adult bear loses its teeth, they are lost forever. The strength, biting power, and speed of the shark in water would probably give it an advantage against the bear in most situations. While the bear could win and does have many supporters in this prospective fight, I think that the shark is more likely to be the victor. I only hope that this fight is only done on a virtual level and isn't staged for the amusement of bloodthirsty people. I hope this helps you and your colleagues. All the best, Jonathan. So there you have it. That's the expert's opinion. And in the end, he thought that the great white shark would win. And I agree with his sentiment that he hopes that this would only be a virtual contest, not a real contest, because obviously that would be cruel and wrong. I don't believe in blood sports, but it's fun to talk about. A virtual contest between a bear and a shark is quite interesting. So that's it. That's the end of this podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed it. And maybe you can go off and have ridiculous conversations with your friends as well. Do you ever have ridiculous conversations? I'd quite like to know. Please leave a comment on this podcast episode. Tell us if you have any ridiculous comments with your friends. And who do you think would win between a bear and a shark? Do let me know. That's it for this episode. Thanks very much for listening. And there will be more podcasts coming soon. Thanks very much. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. You can also find me on Facebook and on Twitter.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.